Ramsey TV.
I'm surrounded by the death doomed. It's not a joke message. I don't think I'm even going to go to scripture. But I was talking to someone today about the days of Noah and how you prepare an ark to escape what you know will be a worldwide cataclysm when you know that every inhabitant of the earth is going to die. And yet every day you mingle with these people who are death doomed. There's no chance any of them are going to get on the ark. There's only 8 people going to get on the ark. And I don't see how the reality of that to a feeling person, I don't see how that could not affect the way you think, the way you behave, the way you act, the way you sleep, what you eat, when you eat, how you eat, when you wake up, what you think about when you wake up. I just think that something like that is such a pressing thought, the reality of that, that most of the people in the world will die shortly. Speaking still now of the days of Noah, I don't see how you could really be happy. You could be joyful in Christ, well, in Noah's case, in God, because you know the living God, and the living God speaks with you, and the living God communicates with you, obviously. Because it was the living God who gave the dimensions of the ark, told Noah and his sons how to build the ark, told him what he wanted in the ark, very, very specific. And for all the specificity with which God dealt with Noah, it was the opposite of the inhabitants of the world. God gave them nothing except their breath and their food and the rain and the sun. He gave them the same blessings that he gave Noah and his family and his sons' families, but he didn't give them any information. We keep thinking that Noah went around trying to convince people that the flood was coming. Did he? I don't think he did. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I should go look at it now, but I don't feel like it right now. Called Noah a herald, an eighth. Who's he heralding to? Was he heralding to his own family? I'd be heralding to my own family. And maybe my neighbors could be. I don't see Noah going around like Jonah did, walking through the city of Nineveh, 40 more days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Maybe Noah did. Maybe he was a herald in that larger sense, but even so, we know he was mocked because God said, Jesus Christ said, that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So I'm feeling similar things because I'm in a similar day, and so are you. And Jesus said concerning the generation of Noah, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage up until the day, up until the day the flood took them away, up until the day. I've said this many times, that there were no warnings about the flood. That it, on Thursday morning, the day of the flood, the skies were blue, kids were running around playing, mothers were making breakfast, fathers were building things for their families, going on the hunt to bring back food. It's an ordinary day, nothing extraordinary about it whatsoever. Nothing extraordinary about it whatsoever, except it is spiritually attuned. And at that time, there were only 8 people spiritually attuned. Maybe not even 8. I don't know that Noah's sons were spiritually attuned. I don't know that God didn't only speak to Noah and that his sons and their wives, and his wife just believed him because he was adamant and he was sincere and they knew him, and they said, they gave him the benefit of the doubt, which was the right thing to do. I don't know that that's not what happened, but it was an ordinary day until 2 p.m. when it started to rain. And the world was about to be destroyed, and it would become historic. And many nations, many cultures have legends of a great flood, and the flood of Noah was real. It covered the entire earth, and everything that had breath was destroyed, except for eight people. Eight in Scripture is a number of a new beginning. It's a number of Christ. When Noah came out on Mount Ararat with his family, it was a new beginning. And Christ is a new beginning for us. But I may have told you this before. I've always wondered how many people were alive in the days of Noah. When I lived in Pennsylvania, Clyde and I talked about this, and Clyde's sons, and we went to several websites to try to find out how many people were alive in the days of Noah. And several websites, very detailed mathematical equations about how long people lived there during that day, which we know was hundreds and hundreds of years. The reproductive capacities and the sons, the families and everything. A lot of scientific, really mathematical formulas there. And I believe we saw two websites, maybe more than two. And the common thinking was that there was not a few people on the earth. In fact, some of these experts that were doing these calculations said there were 8 billion people on the earth in the days of Noah. And I thought it was interesting that just now there are 8 billion people in the world. And I think this gave extra meaning to Jesus' statement, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It could be that parallel and the similarity could also refer to the population, that we're now at the same population level as in the days of Noah, and that destruction is coming. And people are looking for signs, but we know the sign of in the heavens, the constellation of September 23rd, 2017. We know about that. It's a critical sign. Some people don't believe it, but that's okay. It was a sign that it's very close. And yet, on the other hand, there will be no sign other than the clock of the heavens and the fact of the passage of 5,992 years, with 8 years left to go until the coming of the kingdom and the return of Christ to earth to set his feet on the Mount of Olives. But other than those things, times that are marked by the movement of the celestial bodies, we will not see an indication on the earth. People will be going about their lives. That was the point. That was the whole point of Christ, is it the ordinariness of it, is that people will be so occupied with their own lives and they won't be giving a thought to any impending doom, because there will not be a sign of impending doom. The seasons will come, the seasons will go. The wind will blow, the wind will stop blowing, the flowers will come up. Everything will happen as scheduled, as has happened for 6,000 years. And then on a day, the tribulation will begin. And I and you, we are walking among those who will die during the tribulation. Die. Most of the people we are surrounded by will die. They will die terrible deaths because they are unlucky enough, and I use that word unlucky relatively. They are born in an era where this happened. In the days of Noah, 8 billion people were born in the day that that happened. Sorry about your luck, but you were born in the day that that was destined to happen. Many people were alive and died before it happened. Even my sister told me when I did a show on the virus thing earlier, and I said that people are lucky who die now. She couldn't believe that. Even my own sister, who knows the truth and believes the truth, how terrible you say that's fine for people to die, or it's good that people die. No, I'm dead serious. God bless the people who die now, because they're going to miss the most horrific, terrible time on earth when you won't be able to die. And there were people who died before the flood. The flood was nothing compared to this. People drowned. It was almost instantaneous death. This is going to be 3.5 years of torture, preceded by 3.5 years of famine, war, pestilence, and disease. So, I feel the weight of it, and I'm spiritually sensitive, even though sometimes I might not act like it, the way I act, I don't know, but I'm hoping that when people hear me teach and they hear the conclusions I make from reading scripture, that I'm spiritually perceptive. It might not show on the outside. I like to listen to rock and roll, you know, I like to, you know, smoke cigars, drink whiskey, but I know what's happening, and I know that I'm surrounded by people who are going to die. It includes my sons. I'm here in Canton, Ohio right now. I'm at a Super 8 motel. No, I'm not. I'm at a Red Roof Inn. I'm looking outside now. There's sunbeams coming through the clouds, which makes it seem like everything's normal, but it's not. Oh, God, nothing's normal. Nothing is normal. Storm clouds are gathering, and two of my three sons will probably die, be killed during the tribulation. My two daughters-in-law, my two grandsons will probably die. But as I've said, that we're snatched away before the tribulation starts, so it's very possible, even probable, that we will come down and be an aid to them. But apart from that, they would die. I have no scriptural evidence that we will come down to assist them. But as I've told you before, I've given you indications why I believe that will happen. Joseph returning for his brothers. Actually, his brothers coming to him. Christ returning after his crucifixion and his resurrection to help the disciples for 40 days. 40 is the number of trial and testing. So, yeah. I have to escape it sometime. I mean, what I mean is, in life, that's why I watch Three Stooges videos, or I watch YouTube. I YouTube is my savior, you know. And of course, there's porn, which is great, absolutely great. It's a help. It's a deliverance from temporary, but it's hovering. It's there. It's coming through the clouds right now. I'm seeing. I don't even want to show you, but sunbeams are coming through the clouds, and there's no distraction on earth that can stay that feeling of impending doom. Not on me. We have glory to look forward to, but we're not removed from the pain of the world. We're not. You could try to be. Maybe some people are not empathetic. I sometimes wish I was among those people, but I'm not. I am empathetic. And so, especially nowadays, I look at all these people who are fearful. They're going around with masks. And they will continue, after this is over, they will continue to go around with masks because they're afraid. People are afraid. Afraid of death. And death is coming in the most horrific way, terrible way. And my prayer for them, well, I mean, God's not done bringing people into the body of Christ because it's not over yet, is it? No, the end's not over yet. After the body of Christ is snatched away, then there's no more members of the body of Christ. But as I speak to you, in the month of May in the year 2020, which of course is actually the year 5992 on the calendar called F.A., 5992 F.A. from Adam. It'll be 5993, I believe, this fall. As I speak to you on that time frame, I'm at the end. We're at the end. And anybody who doesn't realize that has just not been paying attention, doesn't know, can't read the trend, can't see the trend of how things have sped up incredibly. As I've said many times before, from the time of Adam to 1870s, we were riding horses. It was, if you looked at a line of progress in any category you choose, financial progress, transportation, knowledge, technology, did I mention that one? It's basically a flat line from time of Adam to 1860 or 70. You saw the beginning of the Industrial Revolution at the end of the 1700s. Late 18th century. And since then, though, it has been a continuous, a sharp climb. And then when we got to 1959, the climb has been almost vertical and it can't sustain. So something's happening. All that to say is that if you feel burdened, that's why. If sometimes you have a hard time having a good day, that's why. If you find out reaching out to people for comfort and love, then you should. You should reach out to everyone you can. What's strange is that I have a hard time reaching out to my loved ones with comfort and love. It's strange. I want to reach out to my son, Paul, but it's almost like there's a gulf between us now. And there comes a time in the days of Noah when there was a gulf between Noah and the inhabitants of the world. A gulf was created as a time drew closer and closer, and Noah had to withdraw within himself. This is what happens when people die. It's a mercy that when you die, you start to curl up physically and emotionally and spiritually. The world grows dim. You no longer care about things, and you start to get into yourself to survive the process. Well, we're not in a process of death, but we're in a process of leaving this earth. And God is preparing us for it. That's why we're coiling up. That's why we're getting close to ourselves. That's why we're getting more private, more inward, and we're not as anxious anymore to talk to our loved ones. For some reason, we're not. We've done what we can do, and it's almost like that time is over. Paul says, the Apostle Paul, after one and a second admonition, turn them away. We admonish. We've done this for the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, and whoever has come, whoever is not, will not, this is the bottom line. I just realized this as I'm talking. This is the bottom line. It is now the time that the chasm is widening, and it's like the ark door is starting to close. I can feel it closing. This is terrible. I can feel that the ark door is closing, and that separation has occurred. I also compare it to the astronauts going into the Apollo capsule, and just that door closes, everybody gets the hell out of the way. Nobody's allowed within 3 miles of them, and then because it's the most dangerous place to be. Well, we are in not a dangerous place, but we're in a time of impending glory, and it's almost like leave us alone, because now we have to prepare. Now we're going inside of ourselves. We've already started withdrawing from the world, and now we're reaching into those fellow members of the body of Christ who know what we're going through. That's our comfort now, fellow members of the body of Christ. So I'm getting into them, they're getting into me, and we're becoming more and more of an insulated people. We are, I think. I'm hearing it from you. I'm experiencing it, more insulated. And the world, the people of the world are growing strangely more strange to us, more distant. We can't understand them, and it's past the time where we can help them. And so the ark door is closing, we're in it. We've already withdrawn from the system. Now we're withdrawing from the very people. And I'm finding it with my own loved ones. Withdrawing. I can't even say this. Just at the outside chance that my son Paul might listen to this show. I doubt that he will, but I really want to say something, but I don't think I can. Give me 1 second. I'll say it. I told my son, Paul, that he's leading his family into the tribulation, including now my two grandsons. And what I just said concerning the separation, I feel that it's happening between close family members as well. I feel it's happening. Because I thought it strange. Why aren't I, like, all excited about this? I mean, I love my son and his wife and my grandsons. I'm happy for them. But there's something in me that is holding me back from completely immersing myself there. It's not just the fact that I live 1,000 miles away, but it's something spiritual. It's terrible. I pray to God that I'm wrong about this whole video. But I don't think I am. I pray that I'm wrong, but I don't think I am.